How do you do? The search for self-identity begins very early in life. For some, it may continue a lifetime. There is also the search for meaning and purpose. And sometimes these are never really found. You're going to meet two people, both of whom began searching when very young. For them, the ending has been a happy one. They found self-identity and purpose, and then found each other, when their hearts and minds and lives were unshackled.
You kids are pretty quiet.
Well, we're still eating our candy.
Oh, then I had the right idea about stopping to pick up some snacks for you. It's been at least half an hour since anyone asked, how many more miles to Las Vegas?
Well, how many more miles is it, Mom?
Oh, I should have known better than to mention it. Honey, just one more time. Tell us how much farther we have to go.
I guess a little more than 100 miles.
Mom! Mom, look at that sign!
What sign?
It says Soda Lake.
Oh, that's a funny name.
Now we're going through the Soda Mountains, so why not have a Soda Lake?
Soda Lake? That ought to be good to drink.
Don't build up a thirst, Sue. Last time I saw that lake, it was bone dry.
Well, that's a funny kind of a lake.
If you're thirsty, Sue, open a can of pop. I bought plenty because I thought the potato chips would make you thirsty.
Okay, Mom. And if I go to sleep, be sure to wake me up when we get to Las Vegas.
Oh, don't worry. You won't miss it.
I don't know why you feed the kids all that junk food.
Well, to keep them quiet in the car. When we find a place in Las Vegas and settle down, I'll start giving them good meals.
And if everything works out right, maybe in a week we'll be able to have T-bone steaks at every meal.
You're really sure of yourself, aren't you, honey?
Sure am. I've spent 6 months working on this system, and I know now it can't miss.
Oh, I hope you're right.
You know I'm right. You've gone over the system with me. Didn't that convince you?
Yeah, and so do all the signs. I've been through every astrology magazine there is, and this month is supposed to be the opening of a new cycle of good luck for both of us.
You see? But it isn't just the stars by themselves. Oh, no. We had to use a lot of brain power to work out a foolproof system. Hey, I saw you laying out the cards last night. What did they tell you?
Same thing. Every time I laid them out, they said the same thing. Good fortune.
Aha. A couple of months in Vegas, and we can go back to L.A. with a bundle.
I even tried the Ouija board after you went to bed.
And did it tell you anything?
Just one word. Go!
Okay, we're going, aren't we? We can't miss.
From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells true stories of real people. When Chicago's first rescue mission opened in 1877, the word spread swiftly among the homeless that the unpretentious little storefront was a place of help. In the more than a century since then, Pacific Garden Mission has grown to the point where it's able to help hundreds each day. The scope of help has broadened to include food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. Counselors deal with spiritual needs as well as material ones. The aim is regeneration. This broadcast series, begun in 1950, has reached out around the earth to be heard in almost every nation. Many programs have been translated and re-dramatized in other languages by nationals. The program continues to grow in outreach. And this has come about as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. We have to tell a story concerning not one person, but two. They're Sue and Rick Schultz. You'll meet both. But we'll begin with Sue's true story, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in Los Angeles in 1951. As with all families, our lives were a mixture of good things and some that were not so good. Sometimes the good and the bad were part of the same situation. I'm thinking of the three times during my childhood when I was so sick I wasn't really expected to live. Each time my mom sat up with me day and night, it may be that her love and care were what pulled me through. I remember, too, that she prayed.
Oh, God, Sue is so little and so helpless. Please, keep her alive. Well, I'm doing all I can, but now I need help. Please, God, save her life.
Whatever else happened, I could remember times like that and know that my mom loved me. That's a very good thing for a child to know. Mom prayed when there was trouble. That's how it is with a lot of people. At other times, though, there was nothing spiritual about the family. That emptiness began to be filled by things that belong under the heading of superstition and often may have an identity under the head of demonology.
Now, I've still got a lot to learn about laying cards, but I'll show you what I know.
Well, do the cards really know what's going to happen?
Oh, I don't know. I don't see how it could be the cards. Maybe they just focus our ESP.
What's that?
Extrasensory perception. Well, that's knowing things without seeing or hearing or even reading about them.
Like having a hunch?
Well, something like it, I guess. It's something you just know.
But if you already just know it, why do you need the cards?
Sometimes you don't know you know it, so you use the cards.
How?
Well, I'll show you. I do it very carefully and slowly, like this.
Okay. What do the cards say?
They say, money.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm certain. Big money, too. Oh, I wish we were at Las Vegas.
Las Vegas again, Mom?
Well, why not? When the tide of fortune is running.
Last time we came home with no money, Mom.
Well, I know. Well, before I tell your dad, I'll lay out the tarot cards, too. If they also say there's money coming, well, we have a little nest egg saved up. Maybe we can turn it into a pot of gold.
Superstition, belief in luck. Those things took us to Las Vegas again. There, of course, we went broke. Those were the bad times, especially when my dad and mom drank and fought and gambled. But it was one of those times of argument that got me started on what must have been one of my first prayers. I remember a time when we were living in a trailer. I was lying on a cot outside. I knew my mom and dad were arguing inside, but I didn't pay much attention until Dad stormed out of the place.
Where are you going, Daddy?
Go ask your mother. She knows everything.
When are you coming back?
Maybe never.
Daddy!
I looked up at the clouds overhead and decided maybe something could be done about bringing my daddy back.
God, my daddy's awful mad. But he shouldn't go away like that. I want you to bring him back. Please.
A few minutes later, my daddy drove up, parked the car, and went into the trailer. That left me thinking more and more about God. When I was 11, there came what seemed an opportunity to learn more about him. The school gave me some papers to take home to show my parents.
Released time? I don't think I know what that is.
Well, they let us out of our regular classes for church classes.
And you think you'd like that?
Oh, really, Mom, I would. Will you sign the papers?
Well, let's see. Here's quite a list of churches. It wants to know which one is ours.
Well, I saw that, and I didn't know the answer. Which religion is ours, Mom?
We're Christians, I guess.
I went to one meeting and never went back. The Bible seemed too hard to understand. However, I did have a growing awareness that something was missing from my life. I wondered if God was measuring my good and my bad. Then I thought about what would happen if I died. Then, as I noticed the unstable conditions in the world, I questioned, what if there should be another world war? If I died, what then? Not long after those questions began to bother me, one of my friends in school came around with an invitation.
Sue, you've asked me some questions about God, and I don't think I know the answers.
Maybe nobody does.
Well, there's a man having meetings at our church, and he knows the answers to those questions. Why don't you come hear him?
I did, and kept on going, even after the series of meetings ended. A year later, I was still going, and still confused and troubled. At the same time, I was learning verses from the Bible. That is what finally made the difference. On a night when I found it was impossible to sleep, I began running certain verses through my mind. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me.
Oh, God, I don't understand all that I've read, but I want to open the door of my life, and I want Jesus for my personal Savior, and to be forgiven for my sins.
Christ kept his promise. He flooded my heart with peace. Then the changes began to be made in me. He was giving me a new life, but it wasn't all easy. One thing really bothered me.
You really think he might want you to be a missionary?
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. I hate bugs.
Bugs?
Well, he might make me go to some country where there would be bugs and snakes and all kinds of strange people and nothing to live in but a hut. That scares me.
Sue was imagining what she thought was the worst possible career. All the while, a very different future was in the making, and it involved a young man named Rick Schultz. In a moment, we'll introduce Rick, and you'll learn how the lives of Sue and Rick were part of a plan. First, though, here's Superintendent Dave Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission with an invitation.
You've undoubtedly read a great deal during the last few years about homelessness. It's a very real problem. Pacific Garden Mission was established to deal with it in 1877, and the work has been going on without interruption ever since. If you're concerned, as many people are, you can learn much at first hand by visiting us in Chicago.
Visitors are welcome at any time of the day, any day of the week. If you find yourself in Chicago or passing near, you're invited to come and see for yourself what's being done for homeless men, women, and children.
When you arrive, someone will be assigned to take you all through our buildings. You can inspect the facilities, and you'll be told about the work. You'll get straightforward answers to your questions.
There's no need for individual visitors or for small groups up to, six or eight people, to make any advance arrangements. Simply come in and you'll be made welcome. If your group is a large one, then we'd appreciate knowing in advance how many people you plan to bring.
Most large groups arrange to come on a Saturday. On that day, we can provide a full schedule of activity. First, the tour of our facilities. Then, late in the afternoon, there's an unshackled production session, and our visitors make up a studio audience. After that comes a fellowship supper and Saturday night testimony meeting.
If you'd like further information, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Telephone 312-922-1462.
I'm Rick Schultz. My childhood, like Sue's, was a mixture of good and not so good. My mother was pretty regular about church attendance. My father was a career Navy man. He was usually at sea for about 6 months at a time, and we lived in San Diego. The bad part came when my dad began drinking a lot at Navy social gatherings. He came home from a cruise just 6 months before he was due for retirement, and trouble struck.
Rick, you might as well hear it from me. Certainly it's better than hearing it from other Navy kids.
What's wrong, Mom?
Your dad. He's just been given a medical discharge. Now they're sending him to a hospital that is away from this area.
Then we can't visit him.
Not very well, Rick. As for me, I don't think I'll ever want to see him again. Not even if he was in a hospital right here.
What's wrong?
I'm getting a divorce. If he can't keep his life under some control, there's no use going on with the marriage.
Mom?
What is it, Rick?
Are you saying we'll never be able to see him again?
I'm sure you can, if you really want to.
When?
Not for some time, I'm sure. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think I want to see him.
Don't think divorce doesn't leave a mark, even on kids as old as I was. I felt very insecure. I don't know if that had anything to do with what happened at high school graduation time. We had a tradition in that school of what were called senior pranks. I guess it was sort of a mischief-making occasion. With a friend, I planned an action that was a little more serious than a prank. A couple of nights before graduation, we met at the school. It was very late, past midnight.
You bring the tools?
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't use them, though.
Maybe we don't need them. I talked Ed into leaving a window in the armory unlocked.
We'll still need the tools if we're going to put the bell system out of business.
Do we do that first, or can we pull some kind of trick out here?
Well, we might pile up some of the benches the seniors use for outdoor lunches.
Oh, you're talking about a lot of work.
Yeah, but they'll have to work as hard as we do if they want to put them back.
Hey, look at that light down there.
That isn't just any light, that's a police car.
Oh, you suppose we've been spotted?
Maybe. What's that?
Oh, looks like somebody's got a strong flashlight up in one of the windows. Duck down! Missed us.
Okay, let's run. Head for the wall.
Okay.
Keep down low in the bushes.
There they come, the cops!
You think they know we're here?
The way they're flashing their light around, I think they're not sure.
Uh-oh. They've got us in the spotlight.
All right, guys. Come on out.
We're coming. Don't shoot.
That depends on how quietly you come out of there.
You wouldn't shoot, would he?
I don't know, but I don't want to take any chances.
We're coming, officer. We don't want any trouble.
Boys, you've already got trouble. Now, we've just got to find out how much. Turn around, put your hands behind you.
What?
We're going to load you.
Handcuffs?
Now, what do you think? You want us to drive a car with a couple of criminal types riding in it and not have them under control?
Criminal types?
If I ever saw them. Come on, into the car.
After a little questioning and a good scare, the police released us. Well, shortly after graduation, that same friend of mine and I enlisted in the Marine Corps. It was the summer of 1967. And the Vietnam War was at its height. Because I had a background in electronics, I was trained for the field telephone systems. Therefore, when I got to Vietnam early in 68, I wasn't placed in direct contact with the enemy. I was sent to an area just south of the DMZ and spent most of my time at a base called the Rock Pile. The North Vietnamese Army wanted us to know they were there, so they would fire 15 rockets at our base once a month. On one of those days, we were digging down from the trench outside our bunker to make a solid earth roof bunker. We were down 10 feet and were digging into the earth wall when the rockets came in.
They've just launched one! Drop down!
You know, one of these days they're gonna hurt somebody with those things.
Here it comes!
Oh, brother.
No one was hurt by that rocket, or the next, or the next. Most of them were fairly wide of the mark. With each firing, though, the marksmanship got a little better.
Drop down!
Here it comes. Well?
Nothing?
Can't be. That thing has to go off.
Where did it hit?
Right over there. See the little depression in the ground? We got us a dud. There was a hole out there, not more than 10 or 15 feet from our trench. The hole was about 12 inches across. After the area had been put off limits, the explosives people came in and found that the tail of the rocket was 36 feet down in the hole. They told us that if it had exploded on impact, we would probably all have been buried in our trench. I believe God was providing special protection. Early in 1969, I returned to the States. During the rest of my enlistment, I was stationed near to my family. Then, when I was released from active duty, I went to live with my brother and his wife, and through them was introduced to a church.
Good to have you with us this morning, Rick.
You seem to have a great bunch of people.
Oh, we think so. May I ask a question?
Sure.
Are you a Christian?
Why, sure. After I said that, my conscience was uneasy. Things came to a head when we had a week-long series of special meetings. The speaker made a point very clear, and one that lay very close to my guilt.
Ask some people, maybe most people, about their relationship with God, and they'll probably respond by telling you the name of the denomination they belong to, or even the one their parents belong to. This reveals clearly that they're a little confused about the way to a right relationship with God. But the Bible says there is only one way. That way is Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, don't rely on an organization, a ritual, or an affiliation to save you. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
That time I did nothing. I did pray, though. God, if I'm not one of your children, have them sing that last verse of the invitation song again. To my amazement, the visiting speaker asked the song leader to repeat that verse. So far as I was concerned, I had my answer. The next night I was ready, and I received Christ. The searching had ended. I knew my identity, that I was a child of God. I knew my purpose, to serve Him. From then on, things began happening. Most important was Sue. We were married and wondered what God's plan for us might be.
I'm still hoping it won't be a hut in a jungle.
Well, you've already been a pretty good missionary right here. First your mom, and now your dad.
I know. And all the astrology books and the cards and the Ouija board are gone.
Now I want to go see my dad in the hospital. Maybe I can lead him to Christ. I traveled all the way across the continent to see him and told him what had happened to me.
Are you preaching to me?
No, Dad. I'm telling you that I found eternal life, and it begins here and now. It's wonderful here, and it'll be even more wonderful hereafter.
That's ridiculous. I didn't expect any son of mine to become a fanatic.
When word came that my dad was dying, I tried to reach him on the phone and failed. Then Sue's mother tried, and he answered. She got right to the point.
I want you to listen very carefully. All our lives, my husband gambled and always lost. Now we're on the winning side for the first time in our lives. We're enjoying the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we'll still be enjoying them when our life on earth is ended. Am I making any sense? What, do you want eternal life? Praise God. Then it can be yours right now. Jesus has already paid for it.
My mother-in-law, who once would have been consulting her Ouija board, was now using the Word of God to lead my dad to Christ before it was too late. Right there, in those redeemed lives, is point and purpose enough for everyone. God has blessed Sue and me and our families. It's true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Sue and Rick have found the next step in the plan for their lives. They're now training to serve with open-air campaigners for a unique ministry on the streets, in parks, wherever people may gather to hear the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Friend, does your life have purpose? Do you even have God's gift of eternal life? To counsel with someone who's concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled, care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Take time to write and let us know that you're hearing Unshackled, and do ask others to listen also. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. Your letter is important. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone who cares is waiting to receive your call. Area 312-922-1462.